This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. W Hunting Supply is focused on providing their customers with excellent customer service and superior products for the everyday houndsman. From GPS tracking systems and dog training equipment to collars, leashes, and a variety of customizable hunting apparel, W Hunting Supply has it all. For more information, visit dusupply.com.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius, live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Hey guys, before we start, a quick shout out to Alpha Dog Nutrition for sponsoring this podcast. Alpha Dog products are now available at dusupply.com, and you can use code ALPHADOG15 at checkout for 15% off and a credit for free shipping to try it yourself. Now let's get you to your podcast.
Welcome to my podcast, where we are going to talk about a lifestyle with dogs and throw in a few life lessons along the way. Whether you're a hound hunter, bird dog enthusiast, running setters, pointers, retrievers, or a flat-out running dog junkie, this podcast is for you. I am your host, Heath Hyatt, a certified law enforcement canine trainer with over 3 decades of personal and professional training and handling experience. It's time for me to pay it forward. So grab your leads, lace up those boots, and come and join me on this lifelong process of teaching, training, and learning. Do you like to be outdoors like I do? If so, unlock the wilderness with Onyx Maps. It is your ultimate guide to exploring, hunting, and conquering the great outdoors. With detailed maps, real-time tracking, and exclusive access to public and private lands, Onyx Maps is your key to adventure. Discover the possibilities and never get lost again with Onyx. So subscribe today using the promo code K920. Letter K, number 920, and know where you stand. All right, we are in Canada. It is late at night because we have been sitting around the table BSing for the last 2 hours. Our buddy Luke just left, and I'm sitting here with Nick and Sarah Sprawl from Wayaskad.
Yes.
Outfitters. I got it right. I didn't butcher it. So I've come up to Canada, and we've hunted for a week. We're 7 or 8 days in now. We're going to talk about the hunt a little bit. It's been great. We've had a great time. You're not going to find better people to be around and spend your time with. So, Nick, Sarah, I'm going to let you guys kind of tell about your business, about what you do. And then, Sarah, I'm going to let you talk about your stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to start talking dogs. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Sounds great.
All right, Nick, lay it on us.
Well, we live in Cloyne, Ontario. How far from the border?
An hour and a half.
Hour and a half from the border. I would say our biggest thing up here for us is trapping. How many months of the year?
We probably trap 4 to 5 months of the year.
Yep.
Very consistent, like after school and every weekend.
And our trap line is 20,000 acres. And that's what drove us to pursue the bear management unit that we're hunting in now.
Yeah, and we run 21 baits right now. Well, I think we added 3 more today.
Yeah, because of us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And we had been interested in running a bear management unit for a number of years, but they're not very easy to acquire in this area. And we had approached a gentleman, and he wasn't quite prepared to turn it over. But then we approached him again about 5 years later, and he considered it. And so you guys are actually our very first ones to be able to host, and we've just had such an amazing time. And I think for us, it's just, as Nicholas said about the trap line, is the bear management units are very close to the trap line, and we knew we were establishing trails. And as you saw...
And bait sites. Yeah.
And as you saw this week, sometimes trails are limited in this area. And so we thought it would be kind of something great to add to what we're already doing, because we love to hunt and we love dogs. Mm-hmm. So,
and the hounds, like when we started being interested in bear hunting and bear guiding, we were really looking at stump hunting at the time. Mm-hmm. I hunted dogs, but for deer. So that's how I got started running hounds. My first hound I bought, well, I was exposed to hounds when I was a kid, deer hunting with my family, but I bought my first dog when I was 19, and his name was Webb, and Sarah and I hunted him on deer and rabbits, and that was great. And then we had some more deer dogs, but you need a big gang of people that need to be committed to working together to try and be successful. The deer population dropped down, and then we started seeing the bear population rise. Spring season opened again in Ontario, and we were given our first bear dog, and then together started to hunt that dog. And then that was how many years ago?
Well, we went on our first bear hunt with dogs for our 10-year anniversary.
Yeah.
And 9 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
And we have never looked back. Yeah. Like, we were hooked from that moment.
So then we built our pack, and then when we were finally able to secure the bear management unit, it just made sense that we love bear hunting, we love hunting the hounds, so we wanted to cater to and make connections in the hound hunting community.
All right, so I got 3 questions off of that, and then we'll let you roll on. First, what type of dog were you running deer with?
It was a Beagle Spaniel cross.
I got you. Okay.
Yep.
So was the idea behind that actual setup with the Beagle, because I've got guys that run different style of dogs, but they push the deer enough that they're not blowing it past you.
That's right.
And in this country, being in it for a week, it's not easy to maneuver through in some places.
No, it's big country. Yeah, the Beagle had nose, but the Spaniel would keep it shorter run. Mm. And that worked well. The more I, the hound person in me mm-hmm. took over, I actually started breeding to some bigger dogs. The second dog I got was a Beagle Walker cross. Mm-hmm. And longer run by itself, but then I crossed it with a blue tick female, and then I started to keep mainly female blue tick crosses, and they would run far, and uh-huh. they were good, but you needed a lot of watchers to be able to be successful, because they would run out of the country, and I loved it, but the some of the guys that I hunted with at the time weren't a huge fan of it. And you know, looking back on it now, I should have been running bear at the time, because I wanted my, my passion was running hounds. And, and then once I got exposed to that and I could see that the hounds catch, like actually catch game instead of needing people to be in on the runway to be successful, that's what really did it for me. So,
and so was you running a solo dog, like one dog on deer?
I would,
or a pack?
I like to run two together, cause that would really get things moving. But, most of the guys I hunted with would only want to run one, and it, because you could run one, and if it slipped through, you could generally get it back pretty quick, and then do. We would always set up little blocks and do, and do runs, but yeah, with bear, it's a whole different game. You run to catch, and you can, you know, you can do it by yourself, or you can do it with a big gang, and it doesn't really matter either way.
Yeah, and the second question I'm gonna skip over until we get to talking about the dogs. So I'll skip that. And I don't even remember what my third question was at this point. I got sidetracked on the other dogs.
I was just going to add too, I think one thing that we loved is having our kids out with us is very important to us. Mm-hmm. And we found that bear hunting was more family friendly. Some parents might not maybe agree with that, but that's how we felt, because they didn't have to sit quiet on a deer watch.
Yes.
And so they just have to be quiet walking into that tree. And we found it better when our kids were young.
Yeah. And I mean, and we've talked about it on this podcast, you know, everybody in my area, we hunt as a group, like a fan, like, you know, Maddie's with me, you know, Forrest's kids are with him, and Hot Rod's kids and wife are with him, and Wesley's wife and kid, like it's a family affair when everybody's able to go.
Yep.
There's times that it's just us out, but that's what makes it so nice. And bear hunting, like I was an avid deer hunter. I loved to bow hunt and, of course, spring gobbler hunt. But what intrigued me about the hound hunting is you don't have to be quiet, and I don't have to sit still.
Mm-hmm.
Like I cannot go sit in a tree stand to, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. Like I want to see what's on the other side of that ridge or the other side of that swamp. Like I want to go.
Yeah.
And
for
it,
sure.
And it keeps me occupied.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, especially up here in the spring hunt, you only get 2 weeks maybe without bugs. And after that, I couldn't imagine sitting in a tree stand myself. Some people do, but,
That was my third question. How long has the, so when I was up here back in 04, that was my September 04 was my last time here. And I was about an hour northeast.
Yep.
So how long has the spring season been open?
It reopened again. I can't remember the exact date, but I think it was around 2012. It reopened.
So it's been 10 years.
I was thinking closer to 15 almost now.
Yeah.
But it was somewhere in there.
And I'm actually reading, I just started a book. It's called One is Too Many. I can't remember the author. Maybe I'll grab it here. But it's about the closure of the spring bear hunt, and it's written by a bear biologist from the MNR. And it gets into the politics of why the spring bear hunt was closed, that they didn't have a lot of good, sound biological reasons to
close it.
Yep. And, it was a huge part of our economy. Like when I was a kid, being exposed to the, you know, the outdoor world, you heard about the spring bear hunt and the people coming up from the different states to come and join in on the hunt, or out of province. And, it was a big deal for a lot of our local people back here. And then when it closed, it was a tragedy for some of the people in Northern Ontario, especially, that have the big, big units in the far north. Yeah, there's the book. One is Too Many by T.E. Quinney. It's called The War on the North, when Mike Harris killed Ontario's spring bear hunt.
Was Mike Harris one of the...
Yeah, he would have been the premier at the time.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I gotcha.
Yeah. So anyways, the when that happened, of course, that you can get away with things like that for a short period of time, but then the population exploded, and nuisance bears became a huge problem up here. And fortunately, the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters fought to reopen it, and they did I can't remember all the details, but it was a trial in a few select areas, and then maybe a year or two later, then it fully reopened.
Okay, and so how long have you had your units? That was the other question I was going to ask. How long have you had them?
1 year.
So this is your You had got them last year.
So we had it last year.
We got it
and
last
you trapped, because you was posting stuff on Instagram, which we'll talk about in a little mm-hmm. bit. You were posting your beavers and stuff that you were trapping. So you've mm-hmm. had that. So your first season was this past winter.
Yeah, like for the bear management unit, we just got it in April of 2023. And so by the time we got ourselves established with all of our baits, the first hunts we could offer were this year.
Last year, we offered some kind of last-minute
hunts
to people, but it was too short notice for people to come up, so it didn't work out. But the trapping, my father-in-law got the trap line probably 15 years ago.
Oh, I found all his traps.
No doubt.
Oh, I was like, they're everywhere. The Fisher whole boxes. Building's full.
Oh, yeah.
I got in his trapper building.
Yeah. So, yeah, and previous to that, Coleman is his name, that's Sarah's dad. Mm-hmm. He's trapped his whole life.
Really. I don't remember not trapping.
But he didn't get the registered line that he has now until about 15 years ago. So we were, you spend a lot of time cutting trails, doing bait sites for your fisher traps, which really can duplicate as a bear bait site a lot of times. And actually where we treed... with Tegan's bear, I told you there's a Fisher box right there somewhere.
Yeah. And we found the snare.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, right there.
So you can see how the two correlate together well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's why you knew where that trail was at.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah.
I don't know how we got there from here, but that's where we was ended up.
So. Yeah.
All right, Sarah, tell us about you and your stuff that you do, and if... Like I said, when I do the show notes, I'm going to post all your stuff on there.
So, as Nicholas mentioned, we've been trapping for on the registered line together for 10 years, I want to say, with my dad. And the fur prices were such that, you could make a little bit of money. And then it got to the point that we were not even covering the gas for our four-wheelers to look after the line. And if you are not trapping and showing that you're being successful, they will take it from you. And it was really important to me to maintain it because my dad started it and for our children at some point. So the first year, Nicholas said, I'm going to learn how to tan and we're going to make Christmas gifts. That's honestly how it started. So we tanned a lot of our product and made it into gifts for our family. And we hand sewed it.
Mittens. It was all mittens.
Mittens, yes. And we hand sewed. Actually, Nicholas is the one. He's very good with that. So he got all the patterns and we worked together. And people started to see it and they asked us if we'd make it. So we got our first sewing machine used from a gentleman in Quebec, but it was only meant for mink fur, which is a very thin leather compared to beaver. So we started to sell and sew and sell off of that. And then all of a sudden it started to expand and people wanted this. People wanted to come with us. People wanted to put orders in. People wanted our website. And I didn't have any of this. I didn't expect this. And... So Wayushkid only started 3 years ago, and it has grown that we have shipped all over, particularly the United States, in Canada, and some European countries as well. We have a dog sledder that recently raced with our equipment, and we made a special liner of reflective gear from him in Sweden. And we make mittens, hats, headbands, neck warmers, and then, little things like pom-poms and koozies. We now tan almost all of our own product. We have 3 industrial sewing machines. Our children help with it some. Sometimes family comes in and out helping. And we now have a website. Instagram's growing. Facebook's growing. And you'd asked about the name Wayushkid. So I'm from the Chippewas of Georgina Island. And the name Wayushkid means in the beginning. And we have that name for 3 reasons. It's because in the beginning, Canada was based on the fur industry. It's what grew our country. It's because we take the furs from beginning to end. And what was the third one? Now I'm having a brain. Anyways.
We're good.
I can't remember. Anyways, maybe it's because we're doing this at 10:30 at night. Did you remember it?
Well, Ojibwe people used it in the beginning.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Yes, because my people relied on the fur in the beginning for their food, clothing, shelter. Yeah. And then, as you've experienced with us, using all parts of the animals, very important to me. I hold that dear to my heart. So, you know, with Tegan's bear this week, rendering the fat and helping her make some soap and the skull and treating the hide and rendering, you know, using all parts of the meat. And then any extra will go back to my coyote bait. And we're just really grateful for that animal. And that's part of my teachings and something that is kind of integral to our way.
You know, I think that, like, it's kind of opened my eyes, because I feel like we're pretty good about, like, we don't take anything that we're not using.
That's right.
That's the rule with us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're not just taking stuff for trophies.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, if there's a big buck, we're going to take it, but we're going to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we kill a bear, we're going to eat it. We're going to mm-hmm. use it. Like, we've been rendering our fat for 2 years now. I mean,
yeah.
We're cooking with it. But seeing you guys, like, y'all do that little bit of extra and do a little bit more, it's kind of, we've done had that conversation. Like, you know, I think we're going to do better too. Like, there's some other stuff that we can do that we're not doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really like I've always been interested in the tanning. I've never done it. I've tried. We talked about all the mistakes that you're not supposed to do. Then I've done them. So it's very interesting, and we're going to start working on that and trying to be a little bit more gracious with the stuff that we get. I mean, like I said, I feel like we do really good, but you guys are like way up here, and we're down. We're like trying to get up to that level. So, I mean, that was a good thing for us to see mm-hmm. what you guys do.
Mm-hmm.
So. I'm pleased with it. So, yep. And we're going to make soap. I think, did you give Maddie soap?
I gave Maddie soap when she came because it was her birthday.
Yeah.
And then Tegan, she's taken home 8 bars, and I think she's set on this. So,
yeah,
that's great.
We'll see. Yeah. But you guys got to look up that website and stuff. And we'll, like I said, we'll have it in the show notes. So it'll all be good. So you've been hound hunting. You said you've been bear hunting for 9 years.
With dogs.
Yes. Yeah.
Bears, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been around hounds to some degree,
right,
since I was a kid. But, yeah, bears, we started going with our friend down the road. We were actually hunting out of tree stands trying mm-hmm. to kill some bears. And we put a lot of hours in. And we did get a few with the bows,
mm-hmm.
And that was fun. But we had one bear in particular that we couldn't get in daylight hours. He
mm-hmm.
was always there at night. So we called Amos, who lives down the road here, and said, hey, would you bring some dogs over? And he was right at his peak then. Like, I call it bear crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was running all the time. His dogs were in really good shape. And I only had one bait out. And it was probably one of my most memorable hunts. Quinn was 4, and he was with me that day. And we checked the camera in the morning. The bear was there at 5:30, and then a buck was there. A big buck was there at like 5:45, and I'll never forget saying to Amos, "Well, we can't run this. There's no way that these dogs will—they'll take the deer track for sure." And he just looked at me and said, I wouldn't worry about that deer track. And he let one dog go, and it did a little circle, barked a little bit, but came back. And then they let a second one go, and they went out together, did a bigger loop about 300 yards out, and then they lit up. And we drove around, and we actually saw the bear cross the road, and then they put every dog they had
mm-hmm.
on it, and they treated in 2 hours, and we killed the bear. And
nice.
Yeah. And it was a nice morning, nice quiet morning, like picture perfect. And ever since then, it's I don't think I've sat in a tree stand since.
It's hard.
Yeah,
it's hard.
Yeah.
So what was your who gave you your first dog? Was it Amos?
Amos did. Yeah.
He had
a batch of blue ticks. I can't remember exactly where they came from, but it was a Cameron, like it had some Cameron blood
mm-hmm.
in it. And some Smoky River.
Smoky River. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And he had a litter of, I don't know.
11, I think.
11, and offered. We actually had a little red bone that we found that got left out after hunting season, and she got sick and died. And Amos heard about that and said, well, come take one of these pups. And he actually gave it to Quinn, our son.
Mm.
And he picked it out, and that dog turned out to
be... Was that Camo?
Camo.
Okay.
Yep. So he was our absolute
first
best,
yeah.
Our first dog, first bear dog, and our best bear dog. I wish now, looking back, I should have kept a diary on how many bears we caught with that dog, because he was just like, once he figured it out, it took maybe a year of, like, he didn't just, you know, he wasn't just treeing bears day one, but mm-hmm. we worked with him and we did bear mm-hmm. drags, and we, you know, we'd go along on some of the hunts and we'd put him on bear tracks, and then all of a sudden it just clicked. And by the end of it, like, he was treeing bears by himself, and we were, you know, we were running other dogs with him, but it didn't matter where you hunted. If there was a bear there, he would find it. And there wasn't too many of them that he didn't tree. And we lost him last year in September, opening day. Still not sure what happened. A big race, long race through a bunch of blowdown. We lost signal on him, and we went in. We finally, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we turned loose at daylight. So mm-hmm. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we finally got signal on the pack, and the rest of the dogs were treed, and he was showing treed off by himself. So I said to Sarah, and he was actually closer to where we were going in. So I said, and that's where we recovered the one dog this mm-hmm. week, same area. So I yep. said, well, let's go to him first, because he's got a bear. Like, there's no doubt he's got a bear, and it wouldn't be uncommon for us to get two bears maybe once in a while. So anyways, we walked in and found him, and we're still not sure whether it was a heart attack or a stroke or something medical, because mm-hmm. there was no damage,
no trauma
mm-hmm. and sad day, but anyways, we miss him, and you know, just glad that when he did go, it was on a hunt, because that, mm-hmm. that was definitely his favorite thing to do. And and since then, things have been a little bit slower for us, because he was definitely the lead dog, but some other dogs are starting to kind of fill the void, and we're moving on. But he was a good one.
Yeah. Y'all have talked about him a lot this week.
Yeah.
But you got, and we looked at just so you guys listening know, so Nick's got two plots and three plots,
yep.
And three blue ticks.
Three blue ticks.
There's yep. Shine, Blaze, and Skip. They're the blue ticks.
Yep.
McQuaw, Roy.
Roy Clark.
Roy Clark.
If you're listening to this, we got your dog up here. And
yeah. He's named after you.
Yeah. We was hollering, come here, Roy. We was hollering at this week and laughing about it. Had a good time with it.
And then we have Gia, who's McQuaw's daughter. And then we have Tiger,
she's just kind of a mix,
yeah. And she comes and goes, and she's just for fun. And we've got that one red tick that we've been telling you about that we're just not sure. But six.
But your blue ticks, like I said, you showed me the papers.
Mm-hmm.
They've got some Cameron back on one side.
Yep.
On the bottom side.
A little bit. Yeah.
Some, and it's funny because the Blue Daisy dog, I told you, I actually hunted that dog.
Yeah.
Like, I hunted it for Ricky, and then Ricky sold it back to Dale. And it's so funny. Like, I had that dog. I've got pictures of that dog that I had. So it's very interesting for me to look. And I'm not an expert on blue dogs at all, but I noticed a lot of those names mm-hmm. in there in your pedigree. So they're well-bred dogs.
Yeah, for sure. Yep,
and then you got, you know, the plot from Roy, and then
yeah,
I guess the other two come from Lance.
Yeah, Lance Eaves. Yeah. So him and Roy, Lance and Roy were really good friends for a lot of years. I actually don't even know how long, but they've hunted together for a long time. They've bred dogs back and forth. And Lance had stuff from Steve Moore out in BC, mm-hmm. who has since passed away. So that's where a lot of Lance's dogs came from. And then they would mix it in with some of Roy's stuff. So Gant and Ursus plot, I guess, is what we're running. We just got to know Lance a little bit through Amos, and he heard, you know, that we were running some bears, and he had his last litter that he had at his place, and he gave us one, and he gave Amos one, and he gave Luke. Luke's mm-hmm. got one out of the same litter, and Nathan. Just younger people that are going to, you know, kind of keep his legacy going. And so we really appreciated that. And she's a really good dog. She started at 8 months. First time we turned her loose, actually,
she treated a bear
mm-hmm. in 45 minutes. And then mm. when we were cleaning that bear up and getting it out of the bush, her and Camo went on another track, a big boar, about 300 pounds. And it wasn't until later in the afternoon that we got in there. It was actually where Ben and I drove around the far side of the park, and she was treed with Camo and stayed right there at the tree.
And this is McQuaw?
McQuaw, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, she's just a natural for sure. So.
And then we bred McQuaw back to Lance's stock again.
Yep.
And that's how we got Gia.
Yep. His smoky dog that came from Steve Moore. So.
But Lance don't have any dogs now, right?
He's got McQuaw's mom.
Okay.
He keeps her at his house, mm-hmm. and I think that's the only one that he has left at his place. So, yeah, he's, you know, getting older. He's in his 70s now, and he's busy. He's got a farm, and he still comes up to see Roy and them, like we were up with them last year, and, you know, he tagged along, and he definitely misses it for sure, mm-hmm. but he just said, I'm getting to that age where I've always said, if I can't follow my dogs and be there with them, then it's not fair to hunt them anymore or keep them really. So he shared the wealth, and we definitely appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's kind of my motto. I'm hoping I've got several more years left, but yeah, that's me. I was thinking about y'all this week too. Like, it would be so hard for me to go and not take my dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know how y'all were standing it. Like, y'all could have just slipped them in. Turn them loose.
Well,
you did a couple
of I brought them a couple times, yeah.
Yeah.
It's more so the pups that I was grateful to throw in, because I was really excited that Gia made it to the tree with your two when they treed together. Yeah. So
Even just taking them and putting them in the box when they're young is good for them. And, you know, you do have to be a little bit careful with different dogs, and I didn't want to mess any of your races up either, but it seemed to work well. You guys would go ahead and we'd turn in behind, and they'd either go or not. So
yeah, mine's, you're not gonna mess mine up.
Yeah, for sure.
So
I've actually, even though you say that, this would be a huge preference for me, is I have loved seeing you guys bring your dogs and work with your dogs. And I think it's just because bear hound people love dogs. Mm-hmm. So I have just so enjoyed watching you guys work with them, picking up different tips, watching your dogs run and start, and I've really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, everybody's got their own way of doing things.
Yeah.
And nobody knows it all for sure. Mm-hmm. You're really good at what you do, and we can pick up tips from you, and then, you know, you could hunt with someone else next week and pick up some new tips that you've never seen before either. So that's the cool thing about this.
Mm-hmm. It is. But I'd have to take a dog. I'd have to do it. You guys are way, way better than me. But let's talk about the hunt. Like, what did you guys expect when we come up here? Like, I've been here before. This country's a little different than where I hunted mm-hmm. before. Mm-hmm. Not a whole lot. It seems like there's a little bit more water than where I was at before. We got into it, but I don't remember it being this dense with water.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of water here. They call it the Lando Lakes, so there's 5,000 lakes in this area. And then to go with that, there's probably 10,000 beaver ponds and creeks, and so there's
it's a lot.
When you fly over this area, it honestly looks like there's more water than land. Yep. So we didn't know what to expect. Like Sarah and I and the kids, we've worked hard for mm-hmm. I don't know two months running the baits, and so we put a lot of effort into that, and we had some good bears on camera. I know you were a little worried about the dogs and the water, mm-hmm. but your dogs did awesome. We were super impressed with them. They were fast, and you guys did good. You got five bears in the tree this week, so mm-hmm. so that was impressive. And I think, you know, we had a great time with you guys, and we're glad you came up.
Yeah, no, I told you, like, my last couple of trips, I mean, we were catching about two a week.
Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. again, that's been 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Almost all, you know, September would be 20 years exactly, and the baits were run a little different. We've talked about that too.
Mm-hmm.
The baits run a little different, and, you know, we'd catch two a week, and that was it. And, you know, we caught five this week, which I feel very blessed, mm-hmm. especially, you know, some of my dogs have been hot. Like, I traveled to North Carolina and down to the coast in Virginia. That's a 5-hour or 6-hour trip. I've never hauled any of my dogs this far. And, you know, I brought some younger dogs. I brought my 2-year-olds and my 2 1-year-olds. And they've actually did really well with the difference in environments, which I'm pleased with that. And the water did worry me. I mean, I know my dogs, okay, I mean, my older dogs don't care, but, you know, they've not swam lakes either.
Like, yeah.
You know, they go across a creek. You know, it is what it is. So I was pleased with that. And, you know, I know that, like, I've seen the work. I mean, you're after every day after we get it done hunting, you're out going back and rechecking things and spending out till 10 o'clock at night to make sure things are up and running. And that's what I want the listeners to know, that, you know, you guys are putting in a lot of sweat equity. Like, y'all are doing a lot of work to make sure that people like me that's coming up here have every opportunity. So, I mean, that's what people need to know. And I want to break down the hunt, because there's some good, there's some bad, there's some still scratching our heads.
Oh, yeah, there always is.
You know, so the first day we were up here, we went into this one place, the dog struck, the dog streed.
Within 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
It was fast.
It was fast.
We had a bigger bear on camera.
Yeah.
I believe it was a boar, and we had had him on camera off and on for quite a while. And so, and actually before you came, he had disappeared for a few days. So when I saw him show up that morning, that changed our plan. So we went down there, but then on our way down, a smaller bear came on bait, and that's just the way it goes. So,
yeah.
So they, the dogs jumped all over that and treed it really fast.
And we were sitting there at the truck, you know, like, will your dogs treat coons? And I'm like, well, they haven't, you know. Well, there's a fisher, you know, they treat a fisher. Well, maybe. I don't know. And, of course, we got in there and had a, you know, sow bear.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice bear.
Yeah, we passed on that. We wasn't trying to
to
do any damage there. And then I had two pups that we kind of, I mean, I'm going to give them, listen, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
I think we should.
Oh. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. They went on through there, and we feel like, now listen, this is 2 1-year-old dogs, 2 1-year-old dogs. So they could have been running Sasquatch for all we know, right? But they went on through into some country and got in there around a big pond and made a loop in there. I mean, they went, what, almost a mile and a half, almost 2 more miles in there.
Yep.
And then by the time I got into them, like they were, it was 2 hours later. They were done. Like they were done. Like they weren't. And we feel like they called it, and just didn't know what to do.
Yep, I think you're right. I find it funny because it's almost easier for me to trust your dogs than it is to trust my own dogs, because I've got some stories where I'm telling Sarah, oh, I don't think it's right, and she's encouraging me to, you got to trust the dogs. You got to trust the dogs. And in hindsight, and I was even thinking it at the time, man, we should get some other dogs in there. And because I was sure it was probably that boar track. And
I think anyways, it was just, we didn't know you as well. Like, obviously, when you hunt together for a whole week, you learn someone. That's exactly what I was thinking today. I would have gone back now that I know you better and said, let's get some more dogs in there on that trail.
And maybe we should have.
Like, but you don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I would have. I didn't have Spook and Kate with me. I just had my young dogs.
No.
If I'd have had one of them, I wouldn't have thought much about
it. Ben had his dogs. I can't remember, the names are all
Tanner
and
Buckshot
and
Zena.
Yep.
Yeah.
But anyways, and I forget who we had. I think we just had a couple pups, but so yeah, you never know. Hindsight's 20/20, right? But
so I'll give them, typically that's not me. Like, I'm really critical of my dogs. Like, I'm like, you know, it's not black and white, but I'd like it to be. You're either doing it or you're not. But so I, you know, looking back at it, I'll give them the doubt. I think they probably did take that, because both of those dogs are pretty track minded. Like, for puppies, both of them have been run through my imprinting system. So, which we're going to work on, right?
I know.
So they've both been run through the imprinting system. Sassy has, you know, she's had 5 or 6, 7 races under her belt. Lady's had 2 races. Like, literally, that was her 3rd time being turned loose on a bear. So, I don't know. I don't know, but I'd like to know for sure. And like I said, maybe I should have, we should have got a dog or two and try to go in there and cut their track and put them behind them.
Yeah.
But anyway, we didn't know.
Next time.
Yeah. And then that was the first day. The second day was Monday.
Yeah.
What did we do Monday?
I think that was the double,
double tree.
Yep.
Attention hound hunters and outdoor enthusiasts. Are you ready to experience the thrill of fair chase hunting? If so, check out Southern Hound Hunting Magazine. It's your ultimate guide to all forms of hound hunting. Starting in the flat woods of southern Georgia and covering vast terrains across the nation, we bring you genuine stories where the chase is exhilarating as the catch, recipes, and the brag pages that follow. These adventures will take you down memory lane. Whether you're a seasoned pro or a newcomer to the sport, if it's hound worthy, we've got you covered. Join us in this heart-pounding world of hound hunting. To subscribe or to buy the latest swag, go to southernhoundhunting.com. You can also follow along on Facebook and Instagram, where the hunt never ends. Get ready for the real fair chase experience when you join the pack here at Southern Hound Hunting Magazine.
Yeah, it
was.
Yeah, so we turn loose, and I'll let you tell it your version, and then I'll tell my version.
Turn loose, I don't know, around 6 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
We had a bear on camera, looked like a half-decent bear. And
it was about 10 o'clock, wasn't it, at night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an older track. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yep.
And we checked a couple barrels on the way into mm-hmm. where the camera was, and they were hit. And we tried the bait that had the game camera on it. And they took off out of there pretty quick. Ben had his dogs on it. You mm-hmm. had yours on it. And yeah, they ran out towards the highway, turned, almost crossed the tower line, turned. And then they hit the water, and that's when I was kind of watching the GPS, wondering what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And it didn't even slow them down. They went right across. And I think it was about that time they split, and one pack popped up treed, and then the second pack popped up treed. And Ben and I and my friend Tom that was with us went in and took a look and had a, you know, I don't, hard to say for sure, but like 150-pound sow, I think, up the tree, and we got some pictures, and then pulled off, and then went over towards you guys.
Yep. Yeah. So, let me tell you that race. So, the front dogs, I had turned a couple dogs loose first because it was a 8-hour old track.
Mm-hmm.
So, I turned Spook and Kate and maybe Hart loose first, and they got, the time I could get back to the truck and get the other dogs packed in,
mm-hmm.
They had already made a loop in there and come back by the bait and was gone, like leaving. So I had, my second pack was behind, and when they got up around that water and they made that circle, that's when they split.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, why are you doing this? And Spook and Kate and Hart and Houdini, they went on and treed.
Mm-hmm.
And because we were sitting in the driveway, and I said, well, they're treed.
Yep.
And y'all pulled up, and I was like, well, the other ones just come treed too. And Ben's like, what do you think? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, they're 2-year-old and a 1-year-old. And we thought Tanner was with them.
Yep.
Which I'm still confused about that. But anyway, so you and Ben went to them, which was, it was Axe and Attica and Lady, my puppy.
Yep.
And then there wasn't nothing else there, was it?
That was it.
That was it, yeah.
When we got there, it was just the three.
Yeah. So then Quinn took us, and we went up around and Spook, Kate, Hootie Hart, and Tanner.
Mm-hmm.
And then Zena, one of them come in there. I think it was Zena come in. So that's where the rest of the dogs were. So, yeah, I was confused how that happened, but because the back dogs were running the exact track,
mm-hmm.
and they just all of a sudden just decided to take a left turn, and
yep.
I was like, what? So, yeah, I wasn't too convinced about that tree. That's why I sent y'all. I'm like, yeah, you can go ahead.
Yeah.
And then Ben hollers on the radio, one of them says, yeah, they got a bear.
Yeah.
Decent-sized bear, so.
Yeah, it was good. Nice big pine tree, and
yeah,
got some good pictures.
And then that's the day Tegan shot her bear. Is that
yep.
right?
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, she shot the one we were at.
Yeah.
Yeah, the mm-hmm. boar. Yeah. And then, so the next day, you didn't go. That's the Sean day, right?
Yep, that's right.
All right, guys, I got to tell you, I'm going to tell myself, like as bad as I hate to, I'm going to tell myself. So we go in. We've got a bear on camera.
Yep. Older track. I think it was 2:30.
2:30. Yep.
Yep.
And so we go in, and we're after running the 10 o'clock on the day before. I'm like, eh, we're good.
Yeah.
So I turn Spook and Kate loose, and I think Ben throws in Tanner and whatever he turned loose. And they go down there, and, I mean, they start opening, and then they start roaring. And it's like Spook's bait. Like, he's caught. Mm-hmm. Like, he's giving him big, long balls. And I look at Sean, and I'm like, he's caught. And he's like, what? I'm like, he's caught. Well, we start down in there. I throwed some leads on and started down in there to them, and they popped up treed. And I'm like, okay. So then we have to work away that around that swamp.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, we get in there about, I don't know, about 80 yards from them. Well, they just shut up. Now Tanner made a loop in there. Kate made a loop in there. It was Trip and Spook treed. And I'm like, why is Kate not there? Tanner's fiddle farting around, and then she made a loop and come up out of there. So we get about 100, 80 yards, whatever it was, into that swamp, and they just shut up. And then next thing I know, Spook's standing there with me. And I'm like, okay, like, I'm hoping and praying that this dog did not just leave a bear. But then I'm not sure, because the other two dogs didn't even show any interest there. So we walk around there to where the dogs, I told Sean, I was like, I'm going to see what's in that tree. Like, I'm going to where they were at. And as soon as we walk around there, I can see it's got a big old coon up a tree, like a big coon. And I'm like, okay, all right. My dogs have not treed a coon in Virginia. Knock on wood. That's what I'm doing, knocking on wood. And I got to finish the day because it gets better. So we're coming up out of there, and Tanner strikes and goes right-handed. Spook goes with her, and he don't say nothing. And we get back to the truck, and I think I just left everything. I did. I left everything loose. And they go over, like, another ridge, past another, like, swampy area. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the dogs just jam up, get treed. And, I mean, all of them's treed. Tanner, Buckshot, Trip, Kate, Spook, like the whole gang, the whole passel is treed.
Did you get Ben's permission to tell this story?
I don't know. Ben, if you ain't going to tell on yourself, I'm going to tell it too. So we go in there that time. It's about a 400-yard walk in there. And we get down there, and they're on an island. Like, and I mean an island. And they're in the smallest tree possible with about a 40-pound coon sitting in a tree. And I'm like, okay. Like, all right, I'm trying to talk myself off a ledge. So I don't even go to them. As soon as I holler for them, they all come back to me. So we load up, and we drive back down through that area to the very first one on the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And we turn loose in there. Well, Tanner gets to picking and going out of that one. And the rest of the dogs mill around in there. Spook goes with her. Again, he's not saying anything. We stand around in there for a little bit. I catch the rest. I think I just let Kate loose was it. I catch Kate, put everything up. 10 minutes later, they're in there. Well, they were right before where we was at the day it rained.
Oh, yeah.
And they treed right on a high spot. So mm-hmm. We get in with Sean. We drive around through there. By darn, they had another coon. And I'm telling you, two of my dogs have never seen a coon. Never seen a coon in their life. And they were jammed up, treed, like a competition hunter would want his dog treed. Like, I said it in another podcast, man. I took first and first on two of those. Y'all would have been hard to beat me. But, yeah, I mean, you're sitting there thinking, like, these dogs have never seen a coon, but yet they are jamming them up. So after I got home, calmed down a little bit, and talked myself off that ledge, I'm like, all right, so the coons come in after the bear. The dogs had to just run right up on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think when I heard Spook baying, they had to swim that swamp. Mm-hmm. I think he was right behind it, like baying at it.
Oh, I'm sure he was.
I feel like that's what happened. He run it right up, right up that tree. But
yeah.
Yeah, so you say your dogs won't, they will. They'll humble you. And in reality, I don't want them doing that at the house, because I've got to pull a lot of steep ground to get to them most of the time. But I don't want them running moose. I don't want them running deer. Mm-hmm. They treat a coon. The furthest we had to walk was 400 yards. I'll live with it.
Yep.
So I wasn't happy about that day, but it's just the way it went. And then Wednesday, or that was Tuesday. Yeah, Wednesday is when Sarah about killed me.
Marathon day.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we go into this one place, and I made another mistake. We turn loose, and the bear's there like at 5:30.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's 6 o'clock. I got Spook and Kate in the truck, but I don't turn them loose. Mm-hmm. I just turn my young dogs loose. I don't need them. Turn them loose, and they make a loop and come back across the road in front of us.
Yep.
And when they cross the road, the dogs split. So I got one dog going this way, and I only had four. I had four. Two of them was puppies, the one-year-olds. Anyway, they go through the country, and they're caught a couple times, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were, for sure.
Yeah. And then the other, so Attica and Rogue actually got down in some country and got treed.
Yep.
So Attica's two, Rogue is two. They have treed with other dog, like they've treed with a dog or two. Like Attica was on the bear, the split tree, her and Axe.
Mm-hmm.
They done it. They slipped off by herself a couple times during December last year and had a bear caught. But I didn't have Rogue's collar on, so we did not know he was there.
That's right.
So we only thought Attica and
Gia
was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, so they're a mile, 1.2 miles from us.
Yeah, because
so
we drove as close as we could, and we still had to walk 800 yards.
Yeah, Sarah took us in the Argo.
Yeah.
As close as we could get. And then I'm like beating my brains out to get there, because I'm like, she's never treed by herself like this. I don't know how long she'll stay. I don't know. So we get in there, and of course, Rogue's there. And I'm like, oh, okay. And of course, we look into the pine tree, and they got a little bear,
mm-hmm.
a little bear treed. So we get them, and I guess you and Ben had already went around trying to keep up with the others.
We did, yeah.
Yeah, so you can tell that whole, because I wasn't there.
Yeah, I don't even know where to start. It was a great day, but it was a long day for sure. The weather was getting hot. Too hot to run. In my opinion, I wouldn't turn dogs loose in that mm-hmm. weather, but at that point, we were already, like, we started.
We were committed.
Yeah,
we're trying to catch.
We're committed. We're really trying to just catch them at that point. And, they ended up in kind of what we call no man's land, or mm-hmm. the Bermuda Triangle, sometimes we call
it. Dogs. Yeah.
And there's not really any roads. You're into some long, long walks, maybe some canoe rides.
Then we're going to talk about
it. And, we did all of that. We, Ben and I, we drove roads, we walked, we canoed, we ended up, Tanner, I think she just, she's older,
mm-hmm.
I think she just got wore out, and she actually swam. Interesting, I said to Ben, I wonder if she's got a different bear, because she kind of split off, and she swam out to an island, and was actually coming towards us, and I kind of expected to see a bear pop out the other side. But it turns out there was actually some guys camping on the island, and maybe she heard them or smelled them, and that's where I picked her up. I took a canoe across, and she was up on the campsite, just kind of.
She was eating her hot dog, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was catching her wind, but the other dogs were still moving, and they were going around the backside of the lake, and I think we could even hear them barking some. Mm-hmm. They were a long ways away, but we could hear a few barks here and there, and. Eventually they all just kind of fizzled out. They were wore out. And I think maybe the bear, mm-hmm. there's a lot of blowdown in that country, and it's very, very hard to catch a bear. Like, I think they can catch up with it sometimes, but then the bear gets up on top of the blowdown and the dogs just can't catch it. So mm-hmm. We ended up, after three canoe rides and several walks, we gathered all the dogs by, I can't remember what time.
3:30.
Yeah, it was almost 4 o'clock.
3:30, and everybody was tired. The dogs they did awesome, even though we didn't catch the second bear. But McQuaw and Ben's dog, Zena, I think they're still recovering. They're pretty sore, but it was a great day.
Yeah, I wished that I would have got Spook and Kate in there.
Mm-hmm.
I really would have liked, you know, you never know, but I feel like it would have been a different story.
Yeah, I think it might have been.
It's just not a spot you can pack to, though.
No.
Yeah.
So.
No. And if we'd have known, you know, when the dogs, if we'd have known, I could have just packed them when they crossed the road. And, you know, we didn't know. But anyway, yeah, so I'm going to tell you about my trauma. I got traumatized. I'm going to tell you what not to do if you have to get in a canoe. So Sarah comes up with this ingenious plan that we're going to paddle up this lake. Is that what you call it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lake. Yeah. It was big.
It's a good size.
And we're going to go up the lake and get off. And Hart was the dog that was way out front, like had went further than anybody. So we were going to go up and try to get her. So we get into the canoe, and I hate a canoe. Like, they're so wobbly. And Maddie kept saying, Dad, there's 500 pounds in here. Dad, there's 500 pounds in here. Yes, Maddie, I'm aware that I'm fat. You don't have to keep telling everybody. So we get in this boat, and it's shaking. And Sarah's up there laughing, just paddling away. Maddie's giggling, and we're paddling. And when I get out in the middle of this lake, I'm like, I should have never taken all my stuff with me. I've got my radio, my phone, my thermosail, all of my gear. And I'm like, I had to have my tracker. I'm like, yeah, but if we roll over, I've done lost one radio in the water, like got wet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm going to lose everything I got. So if you have to get in a canoe and paddle a mile to get a dog, leave everything you need except your underwear at the truck. Like, don't take it with you. So Sarah bought me a little keychain that's got a canoe and a paddle on it so I could be traumatized every time I see it. So they didn't take me on the second boat trip.
No.
Nick was like, no, I'll go. And they had to go get Lady.
Lady, yeah.
That was only two, and Tanner. So we got three dogs off the lake.
Yeah.
And then everything else, they got picked up. But
and Zena. McQuaw's collar quit working. And,
yes, thank the Lord.
I lost signal on her. I don't think it quit working, but there was some collar interference.
Mm-hmm.
And we were wondering where Yona or Zena was at one point. And so I hit the allow to track both collars, and it for whatever reason it blanked out McQuaw. So I didn't know where she was for 5 hours, and we were a little bit worried about her, but fortunately she came out with Zena at the end of the day, so that was good.
All right, so the next Thursday, what day? Did Friday it rained, right? What's today?
Today
is Friday. I done lost track of days.
Yeah.
So Thursday.
Yeah.
So we're like, okay, we know thunderstorms are coming. It's supposed to rain, but if we get out and get done before 9, we're good shape.
Mm-hmm.
So no, that's not how things happen.
Mm-hmm.
We checked one site, nothing. Right. We checked everything till the last.
We had a bear on camera, so we went right there first. Tried it, and the dogs just couldn't. Move it. It was really hot and humid. Yeah, very humid.
And we know that coons, that was something else. Yep. We knew the coons were there after.
Yep. So we tried a second bait site after that. Same thing, a few barks, but couldn't really move it. And so then we went down to the third bait. Mm-hmm. And the baits aren't too far apart in that location. So there's a ridge in behind where the bears travel. And in the third bait, they connected. Mm-hmm. And well, I'll let you tell the story from there.
Oh, I don't know that I want to, but here we go. Yeah. Above and beyond all else, be true to thyself.
Yeah.
So they took off. Everything got packed up good.
Mm-hmm.
They went around that first little wet land. I don't know if it was a swamp or what, but they caught.
Yep.
And we could hear the dogs. They were raising cane. And then they would move. And then they would catch. And then they'd make circles. And we're like, well, they're going to tree. And then they would move. And they'd done this 3 or 4 times throughout this block.
Mm-hmm.
They ended up treeing 1.2 miles the first tree we went to.
Yep.
So we got up to, they got up to a real, well, they was treed right beside a swamp.
Yep.
Is that what you would call that?
Swamp,
a beaver dam, whatever?
Yeah, beaver pond.
So the dogs got up there and started circling. Well, Spook and Kate poked up out of there. They come up on a round, come up and then went right-handed.
And they were still barking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of my young dogs got hooked up, treed. And I honestly feel like he was the culprit of why everybody stayed. Because Attica would tree and leave and come back and tree. And then she'd done that 3 times before we got to her. And I kept saying, I'm like, this don't make sense. But after the split tree, I'm thinking, well, okay. Anyway, we get in there and we walk around, and sure enough, they're on the little point there of this swamp, and I mean, it's slick as slick can be. So I feel like the bear probably got down in that blowdown stuff right there and just mm-hmm. throwed them off. And Spook and Kate was able to pick up and get around it. So we got the dogs off of that tree, got back to the truck, and we could hear Spook. Mm-hmm. Well, y'all heard him come by, y'all, right?
Oh, yeah. I think the bear went right by Ben and I, just over the knoll. We didn't see it.
Uh-huh.
And I even said to Ben, because for some reason it's easier for me to trust your dogs than mine. I said to Ben, I'd try to feed some dogs in on that track, and he said, oh, I don't know, I don't think it's right, it was strange, we got to calling the other dogs off, and then but they had already kind of moved
yeah
on.
They was gone.
Yep.
Yeah, so they made a loop back right by where they treed, mm-hmm. went right back to where we had started originally, like they went way past there.
Yep.
Made a big loop, and we lost signal. Like Luke had me on the side-by-side, and we was having trouble like keeping up with him.
Mm-hmm.
And we finally got to that last point, and he made a loop in there. And when he come out of that loop, Kate had got behind. And when he come out of that loop, he was coming right to her, and she basically just shortcut him. She went boom. Mm-hmm. They hooked up together. They come back, went right back into the country we just come out
same
of.
Same track, yep.
Yeah.
I actually thought when I was watching the GPS, I thought they were starting to backtrack. I thought they had quit. But then I saw how fast they were going. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So, they ended up, I'm like, they're running a coyote, whatever. In fact, I even told you that.
Yep.
I said, they're probably running a coyote. By the time that comes out of my mouth, Luke's like, they're treed. I was like, well, give it a minute, see what happens. He was like, no, they're treed. The bark indicator's going off. And that's when we hollered at you and said, hey, we're going back in here. And about this time, it starts to monsoon rain.
Yep.
Like, it's putting it down. And we had to walk 0.6 mile mm-hmm. into them. And when we get in there, thank the Lord, they had a bear treed. they had a little old scrubby thing treed.
Yep.
I believe Nicholas came home and said he would have been drier had he jumped into the lake.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah. It must have been bad.
My boots, I think it ran down my pants. Oh, like yeah. I was squishing like in
I
my
was
boots.
Too.
Yeah. So we got in there. They had a bear treed, and that was a great experience. I can't believe the mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. When it's pouring down rain, like mm-hmm. how they fly around.
You would wonder, yeah.
Like you think the rain would kill them.
Mm-hmm.
But it did not. But the mosquitoes, yeah, that was the worst. And so we treated a bear that day, and then today we rigged. We didn't have no luck, and we're going to see what happens tomorrow and mm-hmm. go from there. But we've had a good week. Like I said, we've treated 5 bear. Young dogs have got off by themselves. Like I had three young dogs on one tree by themselves, and then Attica and Rogue treated a bear by themselves. Mm-hmm. That was her first, so I'm very pleased with that. We've had some pretty good runs.
Mm-hmm.
You say they last longer. I'm not sure. I don't know about that. Like those are a little bit longer than I prefer.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. So hopefully tomorrow we'll do something better.
We'll see what happens. Yeah, we're hoping a big one shows up on bait tonight. Mm.
Yes, I hope he does too. But if he don't, you know that's a part of hunting.
Yeah.
You know, for me, like I ain't told Ben like. It's just good for me to be able to go somewhere and be able to run my dogs because I can't do it at home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I hate to drive 12 hours to do it, but you get to go, you get to run them, get them exercise, get them a little bit in shape.
Yep.
And, I mean, they've had some good runs, so they ought to be knocking some of that winter fat off
yeah,
of them.
No,
so.
For sure. No, they did good. Yeah, that's the one thing that I listen to a lot of different podcasts when I travel, and I you know, a lot of really good things, but some things that are a little bit doom and gloom in the hunting world these days. You hear about different states that are closing down, you know, trapping and hunting, and especially hound hunting. And so, yeah, we just, you know, we love it. We want to do what we can to keep it open and available to people to come, especially with hounds. And you know, I'm not sure how long it's going to last here. We hope it lasts for a long time, but we'll see what happens, and we're going to keep doing it as long as we can. So
yeah, well, I have had I know everybody with me has had a great week. You know, you guys have been awesome hosts. Like, you've pretty much just opened your house and said, here, whatever you need. And like I said, you you've taught the kids some stuff, and I mean, we've treated some bear, and yeah, I don't know how you have a better week myself.
Yeah, we That's have good. So enjoyed it.
Yep. No, it's been great having you.
It's been wonderful.
You caught your first pike?
I did. I didn't even talk about my fishing.
Yeah.
Man, I caught some nice small or largemouth.
Yep.
And the very first day I fished, I had a pike come up right at the boat, and I missed him. So I told Quinn and Nick, I said, I'm catching a pike before I leave here. So me and Quinn had went down to the fishing store, the sporting goods store, and we bought a couple lures, and we got him some line hooked up and everything. And the lure that I bought, the very first cast, that was Wednesday evening. It wasn't the day we was out all day. Is that Wednesday where we're out?
Yes, it was, because I remember saying, I'm too tired to go fishing, and you said, I'll go.
Like,
you're just going.
I like to fish. Yeah, so it was Wednesday evening. We went down, and me and Quinn and Maddie got out. And Maddie just followed me around, and Quinn was fishing. The very first cast, I catch that booger. And I know they could hear me screaming across that lake, because I was like, I got him. I got him. But, yeah, I caught a nice – I don't know how long he was. We do things in length. I don't know.
Yeah,
you said he was, what, 4 or 5
I
pounds?
I think 4 or 5 pounds. Yeah, we measure
Which is a good size for that lake.
Yeah, it's a small little spring-fed lake, but it's got, pretty good pike and bass in it.
Yep, I caught a pike. I am tickled. That's some species that I've never caught. So I'm tickled to death. And, yeah, I mean, it's been a great – I mean – it's been a really good trip, so I can't thank you guys enough for having us, for one. And, you know, hopefully you guys can get down in the future and spend a couple of days with us, a week with us, 2 weeks, whatever you want to do. Like I said, I take off the whole month of September and the whole month of December.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. I hunt.
Yeah.
Like, I want to go hunt.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully someday we'd love to come down and just trail along and check it out and see the country. And
Yeah, we got a lot to see.
One thing I just want to say, because I feel like you're too humble with your dogs, and I think your dogs are amazing. And one thing I was super impressed with this week is, no, even if they're 700-800 yards, I can't believe how far you can call your dogs to you.
Oh, I called one of them over half a mile.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he was like,
he was
six tenths of a mile.
And I just think, like, the training that you've put into your dogs is so obvious. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I guess. I don't know, because that's what I always do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and I see other people's dogs, and I scratch my head, and everybody does their own thing, right?
Yeah.
Everybody
Oh, yeah.
has their own.
Yeah.
And my guys at home fuss at me. They're like, you know, you're too rigid. Like, I'm structured in what I do. And I know you've seen a little bit of that. Like, if something's going on here, I'll just put mine up. Or, you know, I want my dogs in doing this or doing that. And they're like, you just need to let them be dogs. But, like, I don't have to fight and fuss with them.
Mm-mm.
And I have a really, you know, for the most part, there's a really good relationship with them. And you're able to enjoy it more.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have high expectations. Like, I think, I don't know which one of y'all I was talking to. My expectation is to catch game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I know I can't do it every day, because that's just realistic. But more so than not, they better be hooked up, either on the ground or under a bear. Like, that's my expectations. And I've had to rebuild my pack. This pack that you see here is a 5-year-old pack. Like, Spook and Kate are 5, Hootie Heart and Trip are 3, and then Axe and Attica and Rogue are 2, and then Sassy and Lady are 1.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been a rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
This is not my old stuff. This is not the stuff that I used to have. This has been a complete rebuild. And Spook has been the head of that rebuild. Like, he's been the dog that turned the corner for me. I mean, I just, and Kate's right there with him, but I got Kate after I got him.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, well, it was great to see.
Yeah. Well, guys, anything you want to end it with?
I just want to say again, we've just really enjoyed our time, and one more shot at it tomorrow.
yeah, hopefully a big bear shows up tonight. But no, we've had a blast having you guys. We wanted people to feel at home when they come. It's a big commitment for you to come this far. And, you know, you guys did awesome. It was great to meet you. And I hope we can do it again sometime.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure. All right, guys, thanks for having us up. And tell me this word again.
Wayashkid.
Wayashkid.
You did.
Is it Outfitters too?
No, we just call it Wayashkid. And then when you go to our website, you can see everything. You can purchase product. You can see our trapline tours and the bear hunting all from there. For anyone for bear hunting, we just ask contact direct and then we chat from there what they're looking for.
Yep. And the way I got hooked up with you was through Luke. Mm-hmm. Luke was the one that kind of threw your name out there and said, hey, they're starting this up. Yeah, this is how. So,
yep. Luke knows. He knows everybody.
Yeah.
He used to do competition coon hunting, and he's got a lot of connections, and he's became a good friend of ours.
Well, good.
Yep.
All right, guys. Thank you again for having us.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.